It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. I'm super excited. You know what? I've recently started following Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And coming up in a few months is going to be the Bitcoin conference. So check out this message from the Bitcoin Super Conference.
The Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Blockchain Super Conference is coming to Dallas, Texas, February 16, 17, and 18 in 2018. If you know of a better way to get the latest insider knowledge about crypto, to hear directly from the top minds in this field, to interact personally with 800 fellow crypto lovers, hodlers, investors, miners, traders, developers, and founders, then I'd like to hear about it. If you don't, then you don't want to miss out. Register today for the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Blockchain Super Conference. Go to BitcoinSuperConference.com and register today as a super early bird to get the lowest rates on tickets and hotel rooms. That's BitcoinSuperConference.com.
It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
My next guest, Heidi Powell, is joining me. She's a New York Times bestselling author, co-host of ABC's Extreme Weight Loss. She's a transformational specialist, entrepreneur, IFBB pro. However, and I love this, the title she's most proud of is wife to Chris Powell and mother of four beautiful children. Heidi Powell, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Well, thank you so much. So great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. And you're here in Arizona, is that right?
I am. So you're based here as well?
Yes.
So we're neighbors. I love it.
Absolutely. So I'm in Gilbert. And so what we'll have to do is we'll have to bring the camera crew over and do an on camera interview at your facility. Where are you located at?
So my husband and I, Chris and I, are actually in Northeast Mesa, which believe it or not, I was raised here. I went to high school here. I moved out of Arizona for about 6 months after high school, and then I came right back. Ended up having my babies here, and I love it. So we end up traveling for work, and it's easy to keep the family based here in Arizona and keep us all grounded and reminded about what's really important. But I did live in Gilbert for like 5 years. I was out
there right
next to you, I'm sure. Yeah, I love it.
Well, interestingly enough, we lived in Mesa for a few years, and my kids went to Red Mountain High.
Oh, my goodness. No way. We're not too far from there.
There you go.
I was Mountain View Toro.
Oh, Mountain View Toro. All right. All right. Well, let's dive into this because I'm excited to have you on the show, and I want to talk about a few things. I want to talk about, first of all, here you are. You're obviously a fitness expert. You've been in ABC's Extreme Weight Loss. You're also a competitive physique pro. So I want to start off by asking you, what does transformation really mean when you think about it? What is your term for transformation? What does it mean to you?
Well, you know what? I think people hear the term transformation, and naturally what comes to mind to anyone listening right now, and maybe even to you, is befores and afters of all these people either losing hundreds of pounds over the course of a year or 2 years or whatever, or people that experienced a physical transformation like I did, where you gain muscle and you put on size and you're overcoming an eating disorder or something like that. But
right.
The reality is transformation, there's a huge difference between weight loss and weight gain and transformation. So weight loss and weight gain are basically made up of what we put in our mouths and how we move each day. So whatever that is, that can equate to weight loss. It can equate to weight gain. But weight loss and weight gain, I should say intentional, They're very temporary if you are only focusing on diet and exercise. Believe it or not, transformation has absolutely nothing to do with the food that we put in our mouths or how we move. Transformation has everything to do with how we are feeding our minds and our hearts. Transformation has everything to do with one word, and I'm sure it's a word you're familiar with, integrity. Integrity is doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. And people, you know, anytime we sit down, actually day one, meeting the people for the first time that we work with on our show, we sit down with every one of them. And I let Chris do this because it kind of rubs them the wrong way, but we sit in front of them and we say, you're not sitting here because you love food. You're not sitting here because you're an addict. You're sitting here because up till now, you have no integrity. And every single time, yeah, I know, but we say right away, we say, look, we can say this because we have been there too. And we are there at times in our life as well. We are all human. There is nothing wrong with you. But the fact of the matter is, we are so good at doing what we say we're going to do for everyone else. And everyone in that room, we look at them and say, you better believe if your mom asks you to bring the dog, her dog, to the groomers at 2 p.m. on a Friday, you're going to do it for her. If your neighbor asks you to make them dinner, you're going to do it for them. If you need to drive someone to the airport, you better believe you are going to do it for them. Why? Because we want to look good in front of other people. But what happens when you tell yourself you're going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning?
The alarm clock goes off and you say, 15 more minutes. You there? Hello? Oh, what happened? Are we having some technical issues? What's going on? Oh, yeah, we are. Okay, well, Heidi just dropped off, so hopefully she'll give us a call right back. It's one of the, you know, for whatever reason, the eclipse that is just causing all sorts of havoc, but I know that the eclipse was a couple of days ago, but we're having all sorts of problems today. Anyway, good to have you back, Heidi.
So, I'm back.
So, oh, excellent. So your question was, right before we had that drop-off, was, you know, you're going to promise yourself to get up at five o'clock in the morning, and I answered, hey, the alarm clock goes off at 5, and then, of course, you hit the snooze button.
And that's it. That's exactly what happened. And how many times have we asked ourselves, or the people in the room, whether it's you, whether it's me, whether it's someone that we're working with, 2015, that's my year. Monday, whatever it is, it's those promises that we continue to make to ourselves and we break them. We have integrity with everyone in the world except the most important person in the world. There is one human being where every decision that this person makes has a direct impact on our happiness, and that's ourselves. And that is the person whose integrity we neglect. We do not have integrity with that one person. Transformation is when you nail this. It's when you get this down, when you realize that it's all about integrity, because integrity is directly related to dignity, and dignity is our love for ourselves. And it's so simple. People think transformation is this big mountain of things that you have to do. So they look at, you know, someone that's lost a couple hundred pounds, or maybe someone that's gone into, you know, again, the physique world, gone from being 99 pounds like I did up to 120 pounds. And they're like, oh, my gosh, that person had to eat this many meals a day, they had to eat or cut their calories, they needed to wake up and do two-a-days in the gym, all this stuff. No. Transformation starts with one teeny tiny simple promise. It is so simple. It's like looking at a mountain. When you embark upon the journey, climbing a mountain, it's overwhelming. But every single little tiny baby step adds up. I mean, have you hiked some of the mountains here, or the hills, I guess, for lack of better words, the mountains here in Arizona?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, yeah. So we did Humphreys, Mount Humphreys.
Yes.
And let me tell you, that's an adventure. And I think it took me roughly 4 hours. I have a set of twin girls. They were up there. They were waiting for me with the attitude that only teenagers can have. And so absolutely. I'm definitely aware of some of the hills and some of the mountains that we have here. Absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, before you started on that four-hour hike, you thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to be so terrifying. But when you just take action and you take that first step, you realize, oh my gosh, I can do this. I can do this. And then you look back after 20 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you're like, wow, I am actually doing this. And it's the exact same thing with transformation. We have people keep one small promise. They come to us needing to lose a couple hundred pounds. And we say, all I want you to do is commit to something that's so stupidly simple that you know you can do every single day. Maybe it's just drinking a quart of water or drinking, you know, an extra glass of water a day, whatever it is, something so simple that you can do. Once you do that and you do it for a week, 2 weeks, you realize, oh, my gosh, I'm not broken promises anymore. I can say something and I can do it. Okay, what else can I do? If I can do this, maybe I can do one more thing. And then before you know it, you're like, you know what, let me just reduce my sugar. If I'm eating 200 grams of sugar a day, let me reduce it to 150 grams, whatever it is, something so simple.
Right.
You realize, oh, my gosh, I am capable of amazing things. Little by little, the weight comes off. And it is through this, what we call integrity momentum, that we begin to love ourselves again. And we begin to see that great things are capable or are possible and that we're capable of accomplishing them, just like all of these people we see on social media, on the news, wherever it is, that are losing hundreds of pounds over the course of a year. Or these moms, there are a lot of moms that are getting on stage like I did, and accomplishing things that they never thought possible. Anyone can do it. You just need to have integrity. It's all grounded in that.
You know, and this idea of integrity, first of all, I love it, because I think you and Chris have nailed this. This is all about integrity. And isn't integrity, you know, people have said character as well, right? Isn't that the things that you do when nobody else is watching?
Yes, absolutely. I love that you say that.
Absolutely. And so, and not only, you know, again, I love the examples you gave, but this goes to everything else. It goes to your health. It goes to, well, you mentioned health, but it goes to your money situation. It goes to your relationship situation. It goes to your career situation, your work, your business situation. Because if you have integrity and you say to yourself, hey, I'm not leaving the office till I make 10 phone calls. With integrity, you'll make those 10 phone calls, and all of a sudden your business transforms or your career transforms, right? And I love this integrity thing. I think it's a fantastic mindset.
I literally have goosebumps at what you're saying, because one thing Chris and I always say is we say, you know, the principles of transformation, they can be applied toward your relationship with your family, with your wife or your husband, to your career, to your financial situation. It can be applied toward anything. If you look at any of the basic foundational teachings that Chris and I use and how we transform people in the health world, every one of them will transform your financial situation. They will transform your business. They will transform any relationship in the world. They're all rooted in the same thing. We just choose to use them toward health and to fitness. But then, you know, step over to our financial situation, to our business situation, our family, our relationship. We most definitely attempt to use the same principles in our life there too. And that is the only way we can find success.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. And it's one of those things where it's like a lot of transforming truths, right? All truths are simple, and this is a perfect example. This is a very simple truth. If you can have integrity with yourself, then you transform your entire reality. I mean, that, to me, I'm also having goosebumps. I'm just so excited that we're talking about this because I'm having this massive aha moment.
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the things people don't realize, though, is I think they hear Chris and I speak sometimes, and maybe the same goes with you, and people are like, yeah, but you just got it all figured out. You have integrity, you this. Well, the fact of the matter is, I'm sure you can relate, we're all human. Chris and I fail, we fall. I think what sets the people apart that succeed from the ones that don't is that every single time they fall, they get back up. And integrity, it's no different. We're going to have moments where we slip up, where we mess up, we make bad decisions, we have failed businesses, we make a bad financial decision, or maybe we eat a pizza when we shouldn't. It's okay. It's not the end of the world.
Yes.
Know that you are human. You are perfectly imperfect exactly as you are. And as long as you get up more times than you fall, you are winning.
Yes, I love that. And that's really it. You just get up more times than you fall, and you'll win. Absolutely correct. I love that. So let's talk about this real quick, Heidi. Give us your before and after, in the sense of what was happening, you know, your background. How did you go from, you know, let's say mom to fitness mom to ABC's Extreme Makeover? And it was this something that was always in the back of your mind that you've always enjoyed health and fitness, and you were always like a fitness guru? Talk about your life journey a little bit.
So this might surprise you a little bit, actually, because I was a trainer straight out of high school. I was active. I was a cheerleader in high school. I grew up in a very fit family. So fitness and health has always been near and dear to me. It's something I grew up around and I appreciate. And I know the impact fitness can have on, or a healthy lifestyle can have on someone. It truly is the fountain of youth. But I actually, believe it or not, I love business. So when I found out I was coming on your podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Business is probably one of my first passions, because I feel like you can transform a life through, you know, helping people financially. I did home loans for a long time. I actually did fix and flips locally, but on the side, I would continue training. Anytime I felt like I could take a situation and transform it for someone else, that made me feel good. I think by nature, I'm somewhat of a fixer, which then led me to when I met Chris. Believe it or not, Chris, I mean, I had my own things. I dealt with a decade-long eating disorder, just as a little bit of a background, which is where my physical transformation started. But at mine and Chris's lowest point in our life, I was a single mom of two, battling again with an eating disorder after a divorce, moved out of his car, battling with some demons of his own, and he was a few hundred thousand dollars in debt. He was so passionate about truly making a mark and changing the world, which to me was just inspiring. I never thought I was bound for greatness. I thought I was just here. I love making other people's dreams come true. I saw the dream that he had. I knew he was a dreamer. I also knew I was a doer. I saw financial distress, and I'm like, I can get you out of this. Like, let's figure this out. Let me pull your credit. Let me help you figure out this. So we literally just went to town. And our very first interaction, we were friends before anything, and we worked so well together, and I appreciated what he was on this earth doing. He knows his purpose more than anyone I've ever met. Like, I've never met a human being that believes he is here for a specific reason and does everything and anything and gives anything off of his back necessary to make sure that vision is fulfilled. And that is Chris. He is absolute. I can't even speak highly enough about him. So that in and of itself is enough for me to say, okay, I'll keep my job going on the side, but I'm going to help you. So I started helping him. I would say I had two full-time jobs. One was helping Chris accomplish his vision, and the other was helping money come in for me and my family. Over time.
Okay, so let me.
Oh, go ahead.
So what was Chris doing? What was Chris doing when you guys met?
So when Chris and I met, he wasn't doing. I shouldn't say he wasn't doing much of anything, but he was. He's not a businessman. He had actually dumped hundreds of thousands of dollars into a product called the Stack System. Stack System was a tool he was convinced was going to change the world. He really is just the sweetest, kindest person. It was so innovative, so amazing. And actually since, a few other companies that people that Chris knew back then have knocked off the product and been successful. So there's six-pack bags and 30-day fix. I don't know if you've heard of those, but it's the exact same concept. Chris just didn't have his product, and we didn't have the wheels to get it off the ground. So when I met him, he was doing that. Shortly after the time that I met him and I kind of helped free up some of the things that were binding him down, he could focus on other things. We actually ended up doing a couple documentaries for TLC because he had already helped a guy locally lose 400 pounds, David Smith.
Wow.
And it was in less than two. Yeah. Yeah, Chris, yeah, he did amazing things with him. So TLC had reached out. We ended up doing a couple documentaries with them shortly after a production company, it was someone that happened to be a friend of Chris's from the past, reached out and said, wow, what you did with David Smith was incredible. I'm so proud. I'm so happy. I saw you on the Today Show. Congratulations. And Chris and I had an online fitness program at the time that we were doing together. He said, hey, we're doing transformations here in Arizona. Do you want to shoot it? And that little text message back to that producer resulted in extreme weight loss. So Chris and I ended up driving out and developing the show with them a couple different times. We didn't have the money to fly at the time. And we, got a surprising call. Everything went dark for about 6 months. October 2009, we ended up getting a call from the executive producer at Three Ball and got on the phone with Chris and said, dude, we sold your show. We actually thought we were helping them create a show for another trainer, like a Jillian Michaels or a Harley Pasternak, whatever it was. And Chris was like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Congratulations. I'm so happy with you guys. I'm glad we could help. And the producer's like, no, dude, like you are the guy. We sold the show and you are the guy. So that's Chris actually started the show on, we've never worked with so many individuals at once. So in the background, I was his life coach and, you know, his somewhat manager, business manager at the time, right, who also ran a family at home. And then about Cintuit, he called me crying and he's like, I can't do this. I can't train so many people at once. At the time, his approach was very diet and exercise based, not a lot of the emotional component in it. He knows I had been through an eating disorder and some addiction issues in my family. So we enlisted my late father, who's no longer with us, to kind of help us create a program and understand addiction better. And through experience and years of trial and error, we have truly come up with a system that has changed thousands and thousands of lives. So that is how it all started. Over time, the producers saw what Chris and I, we've always been a tag team. I would say from week two into the process, I help people when people would struggle on the show. They would fly them to Arizona to work with me because I could, you know, I'd have some of them stay at my house. I would do whatever I needed. Chris and I give every single ounce of ourselves to what we are working on and to what our mission is. And so, over time, the producer was like, wow, this is insane. Like, we have to show what's really happening on camera. So that's how, over time, I naturally evolved onto the screen, which was really uncomfortable for me, to be honest.
Really? Really?
So
let me ask you this. So here you are, you're starting to get this camera time. How long did it take you to get comfortable in front of the camera?
I wish I could pull some of my first scenes on, as long as it was natural. And I used to tell the producer that, and Chris, I'd be like, don't make me recreate anything. Because, you know, sometimes if they miss a moment, they're like, oh, no, we need that on camera. So you kind of, movie magic, you have to recreate it. I would say, don't ask me any questions. Just let it be natural. As long as it's natural, I love working with people one-on-one and life coaching. It is probably one of my favorite things to do. So I said, just catch me in a moment. As long as you catch me in a moment, I'm good. But I'm telling you, if we were to pull up footage of the first interviews I ever did on camera, you would be so amazed at how different I was then versus now. It probably took me a good couple of years because it's something I'm not natural at, but it is a testament that we can all get better at everything with practice.
Yes. And I think it's also a great example or a testament of stepping out of your comfort zone. If you would have said, no, I don't want to do that, it's out of my comfort zone, so I don't want to do that, then you probably would have not had what's the word I'm looking for, you would have lost something there, right? I mean, because now I'm not talking about the fact that, that people didn't see you on TV, but that you personally would have had a little bit of a loss because you didn't push yourself beyond your comfort zone. And I think that we as humans, when we step out of our comfort zones a little bit at a time, magic happens.
You just brought something up that I haven't even thought about that for a good couple of years because I feel like it is a little more natural now, but absolutely. And I remember feeling that way back then. I'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, I was always someone in high school, sadly, even through a little bit of college where I was terrified to attempt things out of fear of failure. I was so scared that if I did something and I lost, tried and I didn't succeed. So my whole life, I would only run for office in, you know, elementary school or junior high if I knew without a shadow of a doubt I was going to win. I would only try out for the cheer squad if I knew without a shadow of a doubt I was going to win. I never attempted anything I could potentially fail at. And for that reason, I never thought I was bound for anything more than average. I didn't. And it is amazing when, and I have to credit Chris for this. He was the person that helped pull me out of my comfort zone. I saw him attempt and fail so many different things, but jump out of his comfort zone. But because of that, he was larger than life to me. Like seeing how he just, hey, it's okay. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But we're going to try it. Like he did not take himself seriously, which was such a wonderful, a beautiful thing.
Right.
So yes, I little by little, as I would start towing outside of my comfort zone and doing things that weren't natural, 100%. I feel like I am a different person now than I was before I met Chris, thanks to him. You know, and then that kind of jumps over into the physique world, stepping on stage in a bikini. As a mom of four kids, is scary on a lot of levels. Number one, we all have physical. Yeah, we have insecurities. And then also, just I don't mind so much what the rest of the world thinks, but somehow the community that I grew up, I mind what they think. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what are they going to think about me and what I'm doing? And it's I had to really tap into and remember, okay, this is for me. This is a learning experience, a growing experience for me. I'm trying to become a better version of myself by sticking to a program and achieving something that I don't even know is possible. So you almost have to learn to dismiss what other people, what you worry other people are thinking.
Yes, yes. Hey, Heidi, here's the situation. We're out of time. I would love to bring you back. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have my producers reach out to you guys and see if maybe our schedules can match and maybe we can do something on camera. I think that would be a lot of fun since we're here locally. And I'd love to bring you back and talk some more.
We would love that. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. It's been a pleasure getting to know you, and I can't wait to get to know you and Chris a little bit better and find out more about your story because it's marvelous. I love it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All righty. Good stuff there from Heidi Powell. I'm going to call her the transformational specialist
there. Anyway, a lot of fun there talking to Heidi Powell. And you can find her on ABC's Extreme Makeover, and you can watch her and Chris. And it's kind of interesting how her story unfolded. But one of the big takeaways here is stepping out of that comfort zone, right? Nothing fantastic, nothing amazing is going to happen. So complacency kills, right? Anyway, so speaking of breaking out of your comfort zone, let's bring on my next guest. You know what? I've been fighting this cold, and I may have to – I'm kind of, stalling here a little bit because I feel a sneeze coming on. So I'm going to mute myself out for just a millisecond here, and then when I come back, I'll introduce my next guest. I'm excited to have her here, so stand by, everybody. All right, we are back. My next guest, Elaine Zimmerman. Elaine Zimmerman, creator of Wonder Wet Bags. Elaine Zimmerman had left her 15-year career in software sales, stepping out of her comfort zone, in software sales and product management shortly after her then 5-year-old son started kindergarten in 2015. Looking for a more flexible work lifestyle, Elaine stumbled upon the idea of upscale wet bikini bags while making one for herself as she was taking in a few months off to consider her next career move. Elaine Zimmerman, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know what? And It's not Elaine. It's Eileen, isn't it?
It is. Thank you.
All right. Well, you know, English is my second language. So Eileen Zimmerman, thank you so much for stopping by. So, all right. So let's talk about this. Here you are. You are in this career, software sales, product management, and did it start to lose its appeal, or was it the fact that here you are, you have your 5-year-old son, and a combination of having your son, did that create the shift that you wanted to make?
I think so. I was in a situation where, I spent a lot of my career, almost all of my career, working for early stage, high growth startups. And I've worked for some large Fortune 500s too, but, you know, I was, again, I love the beginning stage of companies. So I was working for a really fast paced startup and my career was going well. I found that the more and more I kind of climbed the corporate ladder, the more I had to be away from home, and I was working really long hours and was being asked to travel more. And at the same time, you know, my oldest was about to start kindergarten, and as he started kindergarten, I realized that he needed a little bit more attention to kind of get through this new change for him than my current job at the time allowed. And that really kind of left me looking for something that was a little bit more flexible, that I could be more available for him.
Gotcha. All right. So here you are. Let's talk about your transition here. Did you just quit your job and then start looking for what to do next? Or was it, did you take some vacation time? Talk about this transition from your corporate lifestyle to creating Wander Wet Bags.
Sure. So yeah, I did actually, you know, I talked to my husband, of course, and we talked about kind of the situation, and I was, you know, had a really long commute too, so that didn't help the situation. We said, you know, I think I really need a change. I loved, you know, building new products, and I love working with teams and customers, but I said, I really need to do something different that's more flexible. So I did just leave. And, you know, and said, you know, give me a couple, it was at the end of the year, it was like October, November. I said, give me a couple months. I had done consulting with early stage startups, doing marketing and product development as well. So I said, I'll probably go back to consulting. I just need a couple months to kind of get into a schedule at home with Jonathan and make sure he's settled and figure out what to do in the new year. And as that happened, kind of in the previous summer while I was still working just by myself, on my own for myself, I decided to make a wet swimsuit bag. I had kind of seen someone at the beach. I live here in Encinitas, California, in Southern California. It's gorgeous almost all the time. And so I was at the beach one day. I saw someone with one. I was like, wow, what a great idea. But, you know, I didn't think that the one that this woman had was, you know, kind of the quality or aesthetic that I was looking for. I'm like, I bet I could make one of those. So I whipped out my sewing machine that my mother-in-law had given me a few years earlier. And I really only, you know, had taken sewing, I think, in seventh grade one time. But I'm like, that's a square. I could probably do that. It actually took me about 6 weeks to get it the quality that I wanted and to have it not leak. But, you know, I created one on my own. And then my friends started asking for them. So at the time, the same time when I was kind of taking some time off, my sister-in-law asked me if she could have one. She kind of saw it. So I made her one. Another friend saw it. And then, you know, that same friend bought six at Christmas because, like I said, it was at the end of the year. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I worked early stage startups. I know what traction looks like. And, you know, there's something here. And that it kind of just took off from there. I had absolutely no idea that was what I was going to do with my life after, you know, kind of the transition time. But here we are almost 2 years later.
Wow, that is so cool. What I love about this is a couple things. First of all, you know, you were able to just leave your job, which is great. And not, of course, everybody's in that position, but you were in that position. And here's the thing that a lot of people don't do, and that is you said, hey, I'm going to disconnect from my job, and I'm going to just sit and think about what I want to do. And this, to a lot of people, it can be very frightening because, first of all, you're leaving something that you know, and then you're going into you're just going to sit there and think. You're trying to figure out what's your next move, which is a very valuable position to be in. But yet, I think this would frighten a lot of people to just have all that time on their hands, right? So I think that for you, it worked out really great. And I think that this is something that a lot of people overlooked, is to have the patience to be able to sit there and kind of figure out what my next move is. And I also love the fact that it kind of happened organically. You stumbled across this thing.
I did. And I think, you know, I don't want to discount what you're saying. It was absolutely terrifying. You know, it was really a transitional life change for me too, not just for my son, but kind of, you know, spent my entire career building up to this point and, you know, saying, you know what, I'm going to step off this ladder for a minute and see what's really going to fulfill me and what is the kind of life I want to lead. And actually, you know, I'm very fortunate. I live, I'm neighbors with someone who's a motivational speaker, and she kind of saw me at this time, and we weren't that close at the time, but we've become close since. And she said, wow, I can't believe you did that. And she talked to me about an executive that she knew who had kind of gone through something similar. And she introduced me to that executive, who was the one who told me, don't rush into something. You know, like, I know that need is there to, like, what am I going to do next? But she's like, you know, sometimes in these situations, you really need kind of a space to, you know, really think about what you want to do. So don't just rush into something. And it was really terrifying, and it did happen organically. But I think that was one of the most valuable things I've ever done in my life.
Sure. I think it was Henry Ford who said something along the lines that the hardest work is thinking, and that's why so very few people do it. Because it is, you know, I mean, to sit there and say, okay, what am I going to do next? That could be overwhelming.
Yeah, it really was.
All right, so let's jump into this. Wander Wet Bags. Tell me about this. Why is this bag, you know, a must-have? I mean, it obviously inspired you. It got you excited. So let's talk about this.
Sure. I think it was really kind of a practical need. And again, I talk about business travel. First of all, I live at the beach. So I am going to the beach myself and with my kids all the time, swim lessons. I always have a wet swimsuit with me. And so it was kind of a need. And I think, you know, when I was doing corporate travel a lot, I would find myself in these really, you know, beautiful hotels with, you know, pools. And as a mom, you never get time to yourself. I'd be, you know, come home after meetings at the end of the day by myself in some city and be like, wow, geez, like, I wish I brought my bathing suit so I could actually use this pool and, you know, have some time to myself and go sit in the hot tub. I'm like, how am I going to get my swimsuit home? So it really was like born of need, if you will. And then, you know, looking around for other options, everything I found when I tried to search online was either black utilitarian for guys, like something you'd find at a sporting goods store, or else, you know, really chintzy, covered in kid prints, plasticky, not well made, you know, kind of cloth diapering bags. And I said, neither of these things are something I want. So I literally just went to a local fabric shop and found some fabric I liked and kind of researched for some waterproof material and experimented for a while and made it myself. And it's so useful. I find myself using them not just for wet swimsuits, but, you know, when I go do yoga or I go to the gym, especially hot yoga is a big thing here in Southern California. So you have really sweaty gear afterwards, and, you know, being able to pop that into my Wander Wet Bag, throw that into your car and not have to worry about everything, you know, stinking when you're kind of on the go, if you're going to work or you're going somewhere afterwards, has been really useful for me.
Absolutely. Anybody who does any kind of, what do you call it, sporting type of activity needs a bag like this, because there's, you know, as you said, there's so many different uses for it, not just the wet bathing suit, but, you know, sometimes if I go for a run and I'm in Arizona, so it's always, you know, warm. And so if you go for a run and then you're sopping wet, it looks like you just went, you know, wading in a pool. And so it's good to be able to just take off your gear and throw it in a bag. All right. So one of the things that you mentioned about your bag is that the one that you saw didn't, you know, you liked it, it inspired you, but it wasn't up to your, it didn't really connect with you.
Quality.
And so you made, the quality and stuff like that. And so what separates your bag from, let's say, other bags? I'm going to kind of put you on the spot there a little bit.
Sure. Bar none, I think, the designs and the craftsmanship. So I am very particular about the prints that I select and the designers that I work with. And that's the number one thing I hear. And I started calling them. I felt it was a little presumptuous at me. I was embarrassed, you know, at first. But people, everybody who had come, you know, as I started kind of doing little pop-up shops and sales around town at, you know, street fairs or at boutiques, they would comment like, oh, my gosh, these are so cute. These are super cute. So when I finally got signage made, I'm like, gosh, what am I going to say on this? I'm like, I'm going to say super cute wet swimsuit bags. And I was really embarrassed. I'm like, you know, if I was a big companies say things like that all the time. So I'm going to say it. And so my bags are super cute and the designs are really beautiful. But I take the most pride not just in that, because it's not just about picking the right prints. Like I said, it took a long time, you know, over a month and a half of experimenting with different types of materials, especially with my friend said she was going to purchase them as gifts. Like, oh my gosh, this is not just for me or my family or friends. They're going out in the world. So making sure I'd pick the right material, it took a long time to find the right waterproof material, really soft, breathable, and waterproof lining, and the craftsmanship, there are no visible seams that you can see when you look at my bag. So it really is, I believe, the best quality bag and the most beautiful or super cutest. Is that a word? It is now.
Yes, the super cutest bag ever.
That's right. Wet swimsuit bags on the market.
I love it. I love it. All right. So let's go back to you manufacturing. Obviously, you said in the very beginning you were doing it by yourself there with this sewing machine you got from your mom-in-law there. So how are you manufacturing your bags now?
Sure. So I think maybe because of my business background, after my friend bought those and I went out and because of my software background, you know, it's a really big thing to kind of test ideas before you go and spend hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars on, you know, developers to develop new mobile or web apps. I said, you know, let me go test this out around town. So I went and talked to some of the surf shops here in town and some of the boutiques, and they said they'd buy them. So I put together a financial model about, like, I'm like, I cannot, if I'm going to really make this into a business, I cannot do all these myself. So I put together a model to see, okay, what's it going to cost? And I just went online and started searching for manufacturers or sewing companies. That was a whole new thing, learning this industry. But essentially, I started out in LA, and I found a manufacturer up in Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles. And since then, it was really important to me to find someone here in the U.S. to manufacture my bags. Passionate about that. So since then, I was able to actually find someone right here in San Diego. So I have a few different partners I work with right here in San Diego that I'm really proud not to just come friends with them over time too.
Sure, sure. And that's important. It's important to have that relationship, because if you trust them and you like them, it makes it working together that much easier, because in any relationship, you're always going to have little frictions or sticking points or things that sometimes go wrong, especially when you're doing hundreds or thousands of different, copies, things.
Exactly.
You know, things are going to go wrong. It's just a normal part of any kind of relationship. All right. So what advice would you give to somebody who's listening to your story and going, man, I want to do that. But maybe, you know, let's start with the fear advice. What advice would you give somebody that has an idea, they're almost ready to pull the trigger, but they're just scared of change?
Sure. Take on someone else's persona for a little bit. So what I mean by that is, it would, even as a salesperson, you know, I've sold for other companies. It's really hard to sell something that's yours, right? And something that you've made, because it's yours and you have this fear of rejection. So I'd say before you go and eat any business or any person with an idea goes and tries to, you know, quit their job and do this full time, I'd say it's really important to get out there and test. So what I did is I kind of leveraged the fact that I'd been a consultant, and I pretended that they were someone else's bags. And when I went to the surf shop, I said, hi, I'm Eileen. I represent this, you know, woman who's starting this line, and she wanted to get some feedback. I wanted to see what your thoughts are. I took on, like, pretended that they were someone else's, and I did that with my friends. I did that with my neighbors. Because also the other thing is people don't want to give you negative feedback because they know it's yours, right? So they might say that
right.
things – whatever your product is good when really maybe they don't think. And, you know, a lot of people said they were super cute. But then there was one meeting I'll never forget that I had, and people tore them apart. And a couple of the things that they said, you know, really actually did in a good way. You have to choose who you're going to listen to and what the feedback is. And a lot of the things didn't jive that they had said with what everybody else had said. So I kind of ignored those. But there were a couple of things that were really valuable pieces of feedback that I was able to, they were able to tell me, and I was able to hear because I wasn't personally taking it, you know, the feedback as criticism of me. It was of the bag I had made. And I made a couple of adjustments based on their feedback. And I have the product I have today. So pretend you're someone else if that's what you need to do to get out of your comfort zone, as the woman before you was talking about. I thought that was really great.
Yes, I love that idea. Matter of fact, interesting that you should say this, because one of the things that I teach people who are first starting to do telemarketing is to take on a different persona, because you get hung up a lot and you get a lot of rejection. And sometimes that can mess with you personally. But if you are pretending to be somebody else, John Smith, and you don't take it as personally. So I love that idea of taking on this other persona. And the other benefit to that is if you're able to disassociate yourself from, like you said, from your own personal feelings, you're able to see the criticism not as personal criticism, but as ways to improve your product. That's important. And you're also, I think, able to be more confident standing up for your product without, as you said, feeling weird about standing up for your product.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So where are the bags available for purchase?
Sure. I primarily sell online, so you can find them at my website, which is Wander with an A as in travel, wanderwetbags.com. I also sell in some select boutiques and resorts around town and across the country. And finally, you can get them through Amazon, so you can get them next day if you're an Amazon Prime member.
I love that. Wanderwetbags.com. I'm going to go there now and see these super cute bags. Endless summer. Here we go. Great looking website. Definitely very fashionable. I like the way you've done this. Great job. So it's Wander, W-A-N-D-E-R, wetbags.com. And as Eileen said, they're available on Amazon, and if you happen to be an Amazon Prime, you can get it the next day or so many of their other options. All right, so what do you see the future for your bags? Tell me about that. Tell me what you see about your future for your company.
Sure. So I really love personal connections between people. Relationships are really important to me, as you mentioned, with partners and everyone you work with. One of the main things I wanted with my own business was, you know, being able to work with people that I like. So I've started partnering. I'm really excited. I have a couple of different local artists and companies that I'm going to be partnering with to have some limited edition prints by these brands and artists. I also have kind of future ideas for beyond wet swimsuit bags and packing organizers, because a lot of my customers tell me they use my bags not for wet swimsuits or gym clothes, but actually toiletries or makeup when they're traveling, and making sure their sunscreen or their face creams don't spill all over their suitcase. The most immediate thing is I have a new wetsuit size, because I heard feedback from the surfers here in town that they really wanted something that they could put their wetsuits in. And one would think this was a problem that has been solved, but apparently not. And so the surfers get out of the ocean and their, you know, wetsuit leaks all over their car and makes it smell kind of mildewy and moldy. So this has been a save for a lot of the surfers who've taken my prototypes and have given me feedback. So those will be launching very, very soon on my website.
You know what's amazing to me? I scuba dive And I did not even make that connection. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
What I do right now is I take a big trash bag with me, and
yeah,
I dump my wetsuit in the trash bag. And, you know, it'd be great to have a bag that's going to be durable and maybe even not end up in the landfill like all my trash bags do and stuff like that. So that's a great idea. I can't wait to see that. All right, so let's go back to business. Let's talk about from the time that you said, okay, I'm absolutely going to, you know, I'm going in, I'm fully committed to this product and this in marketing this brand. How long before you went from working in your home to hiring your manufacturers?
It was pretty fast. I actually started with sales. So I started going out, like I said, even before I really had considered making this a business. I wanted to kind of check, market test if this was something people would buy by taking it to the boutiques. And when they said yes, I kind of started taking orders, and it was very fast where I was actually getting orders that were larger than what I could make myself. So I would say within a few months, the long pull there was just finding manufacturing partners, you know, so that was the part that took longer. Otherwise it would have been immediate pretty much within the first few months of being beyond my own personal capacity.
I love this. And again, I want everybody to listen to this. You did what I call pre-selling, right? So you're out there, you're selling, you're marketing, you're getting feedback, and you're taking orders even before you can fulfill those orders. And I think this is what hangs up a lot of people. They're thinking, well, you know, if I get 1,000, if I get a 1,000 units, then, you know, how am I going to fulfill that? And you were like, okay, you were smart because you started focusing on sales, which is the most important thing. And then you found your manufacturer. So I love this idea of, you know, pre-selling and started getting that feedback. And let's talk about, how did you do that? Did you just go door to door? Were you using the phone? How did you get your first sales?
Sure. It was definitely in person. So like I said, I literally went downtown Encinitas and went and walked right into the surf shops. And that, I have to say, I credit my first job out of school. My first job out of school was long distance sales to businesses. So, you know, I learned right out of school how to walk in and just say, hi, my name is Eileen, and I'm here to speak with the person in charge of, you know, whatever I was selling at that time. So that's what I did. And
right.
I walked into a local resort and I said, who does the buying for your gift shop and for the spa shop? And those people came out, or I got the names of this person. And it's always more valuable to, again, make that personal connection. And soon over the phone, over email, with a photo, it's a lot easier. But, you know, it's so easy for people to just delete or hang up or not read the email. When you're in person, people can't say no. So, and especially once they see it, even if they're like, oh, I'm sorry, that we're too big. Oh, what is that? You know, so that value of that personal connection, having people see the product, was really what got me in the door to many of the accounts that I have today.
Okay, and I want to cover this because I can just hear some people saying, all right, well, how did you sell this if you didn't have anything to sell them? So did you show up with like some proofs or some pictures, or did you have one sample? How did you sell it?
Sure. So after I'd made some for my friends and family, I had, you know, a variety of prints that I'd made. So I made, I don't remember, 6 to 10 samples, and that had all of the different prints that I had. And those are what I took. And I said, here are the different ones. And right away, I cannot stress enough the value of, and it is so scary. It really is. And I think that fear is what keeps so many people either from doing, you know, pursuing their idea, or from checking out if their idea works in the market before they go all in, is, you know, getting out there and say, hey, here's what I have to offer, or here's what my friend asked me to help her figure out if she has something to offer, and being able to see, like, these are the ones that people like, and these are the prints that are selling, and these are the ones that people are like, oh, no, I don't really like those, right? So valuable to have some samples and take them out and get the feedback from people right away.
I love it. I love it. So, okay, let's talk about the numbers here. So, because it seems to me that you launched your business on what a lot of people would refer to kind of a shoestring budget, in the sense that
because
I think a mistake a lot of people make is they first go out and they produce the product, and so now they have all this money tied up in inventory and they have no sales. And of course you did the reverse. So I'm thinking, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, is that since you went out there and sold first, your upfront investment must have been very small, because you created 6 or 10 samples and then you hit the street.
That's exactly right. Yep. I think a mistake a lot of people made, and this is something that I learned from my software and product management career. I don't know if you've heard of Paul Graham of Y Combinator in Silicon Valley, a big incubator that has turned out a lot of really huge tech companies we've all heard of. But he had this really famous blog post that he wrote called Do Things That Don't Scale. And a lot of companies start tech or, you know, wet swimsuit bags. Lots of companies start and say, oh, my gosh, I have to get the lowest prices on everything. And how am I going to be able to do this once I'm doing 100,000 units at a time? No, you don't even know if you have something that's going to work. So you do the smallest number you possibly can to get feedback on. And I, like I said, at the time, I was just sourcing for my local fabric shop, and now I have wholesale accounts with my partners. But, you know, I walked in, I picked some prints I liked, and that was it. And, you know, it's the most expensive, you know, part of the business at the beginning, but it's kind of like Costco. Instead of, you know, you don't want to go to Costco and get, you know, I don't know, a 30-pound bag of baking soda when you can buy, you know, that was really, quote, cheap at $50, when you can buy a really small box of baking soda at your local store that might cost less, you know, per ounce at Costco, but you're spending a lot more money. Instead of $50, you just spent $5 on that box. So do what you can with what you have, with as little as possible, until you know that people are willing to buy what you have.
Yes, I love that.
I don't know if
you know, there. What's that?
I don't know if that made sense, but.
No, it made perfect sense. And I hope that everybody listening today is getting some big ahas here, because, again, there is still, in today's America, there is still the availability to launch your business for a few thousand dollars without having a bunch of debt, without taking out loans. And, you know, there are many people who have successfully launched their business on these crowdfunding campaigns. And I think that your Wonder Bags probably could have been launched that way. And if you had that inclination, because, you know, so many people like them and they're so fashionable. But again, my point being is to, you know, by doing this marketing first, getting the sales first, getting the orders first, you self-fund the product or you self-fund the company, and, you know, you're off and running. And I think that also gives you a lot of confidence and reduces your stress. So to me, it's the only way to do a launch.
Right. And I think people are scared to pre-sale as well, but it's all about expectations. And especially when people see something new and they're excited about it, when you say, oh, it's going to take 4 weeks, you know, they're like, oh, no problem, because they're just so excited to have it. So as long as you set the right expectations, you know, pre-sales is a fantastic way to go.
Yes, I love that idea of setting the expectations. And I think that especially for a new model coming out or a new product coming out, to say, hey, it's going to be 3 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks is not outrageous. And I think, again, if you set the expectations, it's not that big of a deal.
Right, exactly. And people are excited about it too. And it's something new, so they feel like they're in on something that other people aren't.
Yes, I love it. Eileen Zimmerman, we're out of time, but this has been so much fun getting to know you. And, of course, WanderWetBags.com, WANDER, WetBags.com. You guys can go out there and check out her product line, and it's visually appealing. It's gorgeous. You'll love it. And Eileen Zimmerman, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing today.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
All righty. Good stuff there from CEO, founder, creator Eileen Zimmerman, and it's Wander Wet Bags. She did everything, what do you call it, on a shoestring budget. She had sales before she had product. That's the way to launch your company. And you guys can do it too. And I love the idea of taking on a persona to disassociate yourself from maybe the fear or the critics or things of that nature. Anyways, always thank you so much for stopping by. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.